I would like to greet everybody participants of this very interesting conference. Always I think about the Vytautas Magnus University in Kaunas as my university, and with gratitude I remember that 6 years ago I have got the title of Doctor Honoris Causa. So, my present reflection is on a meditative dimension of women's genius. This is a digest of the larger text prepared to print. The sign of our times is a widespread need for spirituality, which is revealed to a large extent as a new hunger for prayer, writes Saint John Paul II in his apostolic letter Novo Millennio in Unte. If today there is talk of a growing interest in the spiritual life, and especially in prayer and meditation, it should be noted that there has never been a shortage of praying and meditating women in the various religious communities, also in the Catholic Church. Although, as statistics show, there is little formal employment of women in the Catholic pastoral care, their role outside the legal organizational structures of the Church is enormous, especially when it comes to a deeper spiritual life, which is manifested mainly in prayer and meditation. Given the temporal and spatial prevalence of this phenomenon, it is possible to put forward a thesis about the meditative character of a female spirituality, that is, that one of the specific characteristics of this spiritual religious personality is the natural ability to abide in God in a meditative way. Such a statement is grounded, among all other factors, in the analysis of the apostolic letter of John Paul II, Mulieris Dignitatem. The first point of my reflection, titled Christian Meditation. Meditation as an affective and cognitive function is a property of every human being. It is a feature of the human nature, and therefore everyone is in some degree disposed to it. Personalistic phenomenology sees two dynamisms at the basis of human activity, experiencing and acting. While external activity, for example, professional work, social activity, refers to the dynamism of action, meditation is based on the dynamism of experience. It is the subject's consent to be influenced by the object of meditation, personal and non-personal. Thus, meditation is, in the full sense of the word, a spiritual experience characterized by receptivity. Thanks to it, under the influence of the object, the cognitive, aesthetic, affective, ethical, and other potentialities inherent in the subject are actualized. The Vatican document on Christian prayer and meditation, Orationis Formas, clearly states that the meditation of the Christian in prayer seeks to grasp the depths on the divine in the salvific works of God in Christ, the incarnate Word, and in the gift of His Spirit. These divine depths are always revealed to him through the human and earthly dimension. This means that Christian prayer, of which meditation is one of the forms, is always defined by the structure of the Christian faith, as aptly expressed by the ancient theologian Prosper of Aquitaine in the formula Latin, lex orandi, lex credendi, that is, as you believe, so you pray. Because of the personal nature of the Christian faith, prayer and meditation always take the form of the personal, intimate dialogue, meeting between man and God. This is what the masters of the spiritual life have called them since antiquity. Woman, because of her mental and affective predispositions, called by John Paul II a woman's genius, more easily enters into personal relationships and thus almost spontaneously makes in herself real the dynamism of experience, becoming susceptible to any form of meditation, especially religious. The second point, woman's genius. John Paul II, in the letter Mulieris Dignitatem, which for the first time in the history of the Church is entirely devoted to women, refers to this innate sensitivity of women to human beings. The Pope invites women to reflect together on the feminine genius. This term, although it appears only twice and in the conclusion of the document, is the hermeneutical key to comprehending its content. Looking from this angle, it is also easier to understand the common phenomenon of the meditative presence of women in the life of the Church. The Pope understands the feminine genius as an innate special sensitivity to the person which is made possible only by love. I am quoting, "The moral and spiritual strength of a woman is joined to her awareness that God entrusts the human being to her in a special way. A woman is strong because of her awareness of this entrusting. Strong because of the fact that God entrusts the human being to her always and in every way, even in the situation of social discrimination in which she may find herself." It is this genius that makes woman the one in whom the order of love in the created world of the person takes first root. This order of love, in the other hand, belongs to intra-trinitary life and therefore the unity of the two, woman and man, forms in the visible world of creation the special conditions for God's love to be poured into the hearts of people. It can be said, then, that the genius of the woman is, by its very nature, thoroughly Christian. As the Gospel shows, a woman's natural, innate sensitivity to the person is also revealed towards Christ and the message of salvation brought by him. The third point of my reflection, authentic resonance of mind and heart. According to the Pope, what restores a woman's sense of dignity and the importance of her vocation is the experience of love. Christ, who knows the human interior, responded with this attitude towards women to their deepest need for fulfillment in love, because women are called from the beginning to be loved and love. Therefore, as John Paul II goes on to write, that a woman's dignity is closely connected with the love which she receives by the very reason of her femininity. It is likewise connected with the love which she gives in return. The experience of Christ's love frees a woman from the egoism, that is the legacy of sin, and opens her to the other you, divine and human. At the same time, this experience enables her to reciprocate the love of God, which is expressed above all in a living faith, sometimes stronger than fear, as evidenced by the presence of women under the cross at the climax of salvation history. Thanks to this liberating ability imparted by Christ, women become capable of accepting the faith. From the beginning of Christ's mission, women show to him and to his mystery a special sensitivity which is characteristic of their femininity, wrote John Paul II. This is confirmed by the fact that women are first to come to the grave. Of this, Mary Magdalene, called Apostle of the Apostles, deserves to be mentioned. In the women encountered by Christ, their willingness to accept the revealed truth is realized with all their inherent spontaneity, and therefore, as the Pope points out, Christ speaks to women about the things of God, and they understand them. There is a true resonance of mind and heart, a response of faith. The expression used in this sentence, authentic resonance of mind and heart, a response of faith, unambiguously defines the meditative attitude of a woman towards the mystery of the incarnate Word, Jesus Christ. This is a particular definition of Christian meditation. It indicates the faith as the basis of the personal relationships with Christ, in which the woman involves her intellect, learns the contents of the truth revealed to her, and at the same time moves her rich volitional active sphere, which gives dynamics to her entire personality, usually referred to in the Bible as the heart. The response of faith given to God in this way makes the woman a true disciple of Christ, and even a prophet, as was the case with a woman in Samaria who met Christ at the well and who once taught, proclaims Christ to the inhabitants of Samaria so that they too receive him with faith. In the Bible, there are many such examples of the meditative attitude of women who are able to receive the message of the gospel with a living faith permitted with love. In this context, John Paul II mentions, among others, the sister of Lazarus, Mary, and Martha, writing, "Mary listened to the teaching of Jesus when he pays them a visit. He calls Mary's behavior the good portion, in contrast to Martha's preoccupation with domestic matters. On other occasion, after the death of Lazarus, Martha is the one who talks to Christ, and the conversation concerns the most profound truths of revelation of and faith. Each, in his own way, according to his personality and his functions, shows towards him an authentic resonance of mind and heart, her unique response of faith. The Pope notes that Christ expressed his acknowledgement and admiration for this specifically feminine response, as was the case with the Canaan woman, or even gives as an example the living faith of a woman permeated with love. The fourth point, Mary, the woman of meditation. Saint Luke testifies twice about Mary's meditative attitude towards salvific events, writing that she kept all these matters and pondered them in her heart. So, it can be said that Mary crosses the threshold of meditation based on the realization of the dynamism of sensation and enters the sphere of contemplation in which it is no longer man who, through the effort of self-transcendence, tries in some way to embrace God, but God imparts himself to man. At the moment of the Annunciation, this self-impartation of God crossed the ontological barrier, becoming the man in her womb. And the conclusion. Therefore, the role of woman in saving the modern man and the world and her responsibility for this mission is beyond dispute. In a situation of widespread expectation for the manifestation of this genius of the woman, it seems totally incomprehensible and senseless that the feminist movements are seeking the emancipation of women, which consists in taking unmasculine tasks and masculine lifestyles to achieve any social position. At the same time, in the face of the growing threats to man, on the one hand, and the interest in meditation, on the other hand, it is necessary that the contemporary Christian woman rediscovers her genius. This particular sensitization to the other self, which in the meditative experience of God in Christ, becomes at the same time capable of saving man in his dignity and subjectivity. Then will be fulfilled what John Paul II wrote at the very beginning of his letter. I am quoting, "The hour is coming, in fact has come, when the vocation of women is being acknowledged in its fullness, the hour in which women acquire in the world an influence, an effect, and a power never until now achieved. That is why, at his moment when the human race is undergoing so deep a transformation, women imbued with a spirit of the gospel can do so much to aid humanity in non-falling." Thanks for your attention.